Our scripture reading, the gospel reading today, is taken from John, the 17th chapter, beginning with the first verse. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finding the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you have gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they kept your word. Now they know everything that you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given them, and they have received them, and know the truth from which I came from you. I have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those who you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and you are mine, and I have glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in the name which you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." Here ends the gospel lesson for us today. Let us pray. Gracious God, we hear your word, and we've heard it before, and yet bring it to us anew, so that we might understand and know what you have for us this day. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone, and it's good to see that there's people out there. We're kind of social distancing in our church here with some people, and that's good. But it's good to see that somebody's out there listening and hoping and caring. Let us pray. In the time of chaos, we come to you, O God. You know what we need this week. Open our ears and eyes to receive your holy word. Amen. This scripture of the ascension of Jesus really hit me this week. But it be because it also affirms what we as Christians sometimes slide over. We sometimes forget that God had anything to do with our Bibles. Many folks say our Bibles were made by men. I've heard that many times. And it seems like once that is said, it's almost like people saying, "See, we don't really have to listen to it." And they dismiss it as the importance of Scripture. During these days of great confusion and trials, many people start to not trust doctors, or they try not to trust scientists or politicians or pastors, because there's always someone saying out there somewhere that whatever is being said is incorrect. Listen, Jesus said, "For the words that you gave, that you, my Father, gave to me, I have given to them, and they've received them, and they know in truth that I come from you, and they believe that you sent me." You know, God dictated these words, and I just go back and I think it's almost like a tape recorder, a dictation machine. For 30 years in the pulpit, sometimes I often knew that the words that were mine supposed to be said on Sunday morning were not what God wanted to hear. You don't know how many times I've tore up a sermon on Thursday afternoon and started anew, asking for God's words to touch people. There were always people who came after church and said, "Oh, that was a good sermon." And then there was this one guy who came and says, "Boy, I tell you, I love that Packer story. It was so great." I had to stop. I didn't say anything, but thank you. But I've never mentioned the Packer game, Packer team at all. You see, I really believe that God's Holy Spirit is in each believer, and our baptism reminds us of that. The Spirit is here to guide us through life, and if God chooses to use one word to take somebody to learn a lesson from a Packer example, what can we say? But thanks be to God. So listen, be aware today that if the light bulb kind of turns on in your mind, take a look at it. It might be something God's giving you. We take a look at this Ascension Day. Can you imagine what the disciples were feeling like these last many days? You know, they'd just gone for a couple years all over Israel with miracles, with events, with confrontations, with just a whole group of things. And it was just like sometimes like a roller coaster. Things were high and then things were low. They had the Lord's Supper, the conflicts with the high priest. They had the arrest of Jesus and the disciples running to the hills. They had the trial, the beatings of Christ. They had the cross being carried to Calvary by Jesus and helpers. There was the nails, the pain, fear of the faithful, and then death came real. We all know what that time is like. We've all at one time or another stood next to a loved one and sensed their coldness, their stillness. Their body was there, but their soul was not. And the disciples were going through all this frightful time. Then on the third day, as they were huddled together, afraid of what was going to happen to them next, the women came back from the empty tomb, and Mary tells them of seeing Jesus. And we know that several disciples ran to the tomb to check it out. Now, I'm not sure it's checking the women out, but I'm really sure that they really wanted to see that tomb was empty. Why? Who did it? They didn't still understand. Just think how you would feel. It just seems to get better and better. Doubting Thomas comes one day, and Jesus is not there, and he doubts everything. I don't believe a word of it, unless I can put my fingers in his side or his hands. And doubting Thomas was cured of his doubts, because Jesus appeared and said, "Here am I. Here am I." Can you imagine what the disciples were feeling like? It was the greatest of highs. Jesus was alive. And after many days of appearances, miraculous events, the faithful band are gathered together with Jesus, saying kind of like, okay, what's next? Now, what are we going to do now? What's the exciting part? Are you going to throw the Roman army out? And are you going to get even with those high priests? Lord, is this the time that you will restore the kingdom to Israel? But the disciples missed it again. I think the same thing can happen in our lives. We get sick, we make a mistake, we get in trouble, things fall apart in our life, and what do? We sometimes start doubting and start blaming God for doing this to us. That happened to me this morning already. We drove in and I was working at a few words added to the sermon so it would be longer and all that stuff. But it was helping, I thought. And then I put it on my iPad and then it got messed up. So why is God doing this? I didn't say that, but I sure felt it. What did we do wrong? And then I said, well, God, if you want the words spoken, part of them are here, part of them are not. What did I do wrong, Lord, that I'm hurting? I'm sick. I'm going through a tough time. I give to church. I attend when we could. It seems like to some folks that God's punishing us with sickness, with death, or problems. You see, God's plan is often different from what we see. We see only our solution. We get our heads wrapped around a goal that we want. And then we learn something new. Everything from how to do the building, or the staff, or programs in church, or in a club or group, or good events. But God's plan can and was, at that time, something entirely different. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the end times, or the periods of the struggle that the Father has set. I don't know how many times you have seen, like I have, down through the ages, groups that will come up and say, we are the real people of God, and we know that on this date, it's going to end. We've read it, and sometimes I've had people ask questions, well, what do you think about that? We have the date, they have the date that the world is going to end. Or somebody says, I am the real Jesus, back again, follow me. Some say it's all, and so they sell their houses. I don't understand why they sell their house, because they don't need it. They don't need the money. I don't know, but they do that. They go to the mountaintops, and they wait for the great day. And then the clock ticks down and nothing happens. Guess what? God had a better plan. I love Jesus' words that God will not even tell the angels when the end is going to begin. So he's not telling a false Jesus or some pastor who has all the answers. Then Jesus began to explain God's plan to them, and we get to overhear it. It's got to build our confidence and trust in the living God. The Holy Spirit was going to enter into believers and followers. Now, at that time, it's even hard for us to understand. But That's our present condition. Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is in each believer. Sometimes we close our ears and our eyes and pretend that's not there. But once again, God's plan was going to be far better than any human's thought. Jesus said, "You will be my witness in Jerusalem." Notice the term witness. He's not saying you stand there and you beat that heathen to death until he confesses. It's like that old story of the guy, the minister, baptizing this person. And he puts him down underneath the water and brings him back up and says, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And he, no. Then he puts him down again, pulls him back up after a few minutes. "Do you believe in Jesus?" "No." Puts him down again. "Do you believe in Jesus?" "No, I believe you're trying to drown me." Jesus said, "You will be my witness." A witness tells what happens in their heart and shares that story. We are not at this point. It's no longer the sole duty of the minister. We call that in the ministry the hired gun. The hired gun doesn't do everything in the church, or should. And if they do, I'm sorry, it takes the work of the people in the pew from what they should be doing. Well, the minister should do that. You know, people are sick. He should visit, or she should visit, every person in that church. How about the people in the pew visiting and caring? It's each of us listening and speaking love in this, about this loving God to other people, to families, to neighbors. It's a little harder if I should have worn my mask. Then you probably wouldn't be able to hear me very well. But I brought my mask because, you know, that's the way I live outside now. Even sharing it with a hurting stranger. Speaking how God has touched your life and carried you through tough times. 10 years ago, Nancy had a staph infection in her body, and we knew this, we kind of remember it, but when you have a staph infection, you know what they have to do? They have to take all the artificial parts out of you. So she had two knees that were artificial. So she had to go in and have two surgeries for that. Then they put cement and the antibiotics in there, and her feet were out straight for 5 weeks or so. And then they had to put new knees in. Boy, the time that the doctor said, "This is very grave." She had a ventilator. She was on a heart monitor. She was having the kidneys bypassed. She was being fed through tubes. And she faced a lot of surgeries. And the day the doctor said, "This is very grave." Well, you know, sometimes we just don't want to hear that. And we say, "Oh, it's like, I know some people who have cancer and they're in their final stages. And Dad had a sip of water today." And it's like, oh, it's a sign that he's getting better. But doctors, nurses, and the whole medical team, with good Lord, helped make her through and pulled us through too. Believe me, God will give you the words and actions. When someone asks you, "How can you do what you're doing? How do you get through tough times?" And I can share the story again. I'll tell you about my tough time. It's listening to the still small voice. Sometimes there is no voice, but just God's presence. This is a time when Jesus left his little band and ascended into heaven. I believe I said this before, that in Israel, where Jesus was born, where he preached on the hillside, where he spoke in the synagogue, where he was crucified, where he ascended, they built a church just to keep that spot holy, just to keep that set aside for a purpose. And I still remember coming out of Old Jerusalem, and we were walking to the Mount of Olives. Now, you could see across the valley, it was a long way, and it was very deep. I mean, we walked down, 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 and of course, then you have to walk back up. I was walking, and there was a guy there with a donkey, and he was offering rides, and he looked at me, and he said, "Sorry, sir," and I just kept on walking. I was a little overweight at that time, more so than I am now. But the locations were there. It was set aside for something. You cannot get an idea of standing on a rock floor that Jesus walked into this synagogue and gave a sermon. What that felt like. It was the Holy of Holies. It was like, he was here. He was here. I'm standing where Jesus might have walked. This was an original rock. This was not put together by ourselves. Here was where he was crucified and where he was buried. Here's where he performed miracles. Well, we walked across that valley to the Mount of Olivet. And up on that, that's where he ascended. Well, there was no church at the time. It was probably just an open field. And the church that they built now is huge. It's like a silo, but no roof. Why would you put a roof and expect Jesus to go, okay? So a dramatic hole in the ceiling where Jesus, they saw him go up. And they remember that day. The small band of people did not know what was happening. But look at Jesus' words in his prayer. This is recorded in St. John before his ascension into heaven. Let's get a little more clarity. Look at what was given. Grab a few of Jesus' words. "Father, the hour has come to glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given." Eternal life is a promise. Knowing Jesus is in your heart, your Holy Spirit is there. Those that day, I don't know. Can you imagine what it would be like? You're out in the middle of this field, and Jesus is up there talking, and suddenly he starts to rise. Now, we've got magicians who make this Statue of Liberty disappear. That's nothing. I don't know how they did it, but it was a trick, you know. And Jesus is going right up into heaven. Their mouths had to go open. Their excitement, oh my gosh, he really is real. There he goes. Just think, when he was lifted up, there were two men in white robes that was there. And there was something else they needed to hear. Somebody else was going to say something to them besides Jesus. They said, "Why do you stand looking up toward heaven?" Now maybe, you know, I asked somebody today, well, thank goodness he didn't descend down into heaven. It gives us a clue that heaven is up. Heaven is up. It can be in another dimension that we don't understand. My gosh, there's more stuff that I don't understand. I'll tell you what, I had trouble with algebra. I don't really understand a lot of it. Well, I became a musician and all we had to do was count to six. But that day, they needed to hear Jesus. Why are you looking up here? Because he's going to come back someday in the same way as you saw him go up to heaven. Pause and think what you would feel if you saw and you heard this. It sure had an effect on those disciples and the loved ones around there. They went back to Jerusalem and they went in the area of the upper room. And what they did started doing, they were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. Hint, seeing and hearing Jesus, two men moved them. They didn't wait for sickness or trouble or mountaintop experience to push you to pray. I pray a lot of times when I walk into a store with my mask on. And then my glasses start steaming up. And then I go, I hope I don't run into anybody. But God can and will hear you. Put aside the worrying God. I was taught well by my mother. God bless her. My mother was a worrier. I don't even want to go into too much of that. But she worried about me until the day she died. Put aside the worrying. God can shut doors that you're not supposed to go through and open doors that you're supposed to go through. God will show you the way in some way. Help us to trust as we step out in faith. And trust. Let God's word guide us. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we hear of this ascension into heaven by your Son. We have a sense of how this touched their hearts in these exciting moments. May we be open to your Spirit and words. Renew us. Give us your strength to be Christ Jesus to all we meet, to strangers, to our family, to our fellow church members, to people in the store. Help us care. Help us love Jesus' love. Amen. Well, this ends our time today. I could bring a puppet or something like that, but it's time for you to get your roast beef out of the oven, I guess. So think about it. Christ's ascension and what it means. And may God bless you in the weeks ahead during the anxiety and struggles you meet. I'm afraid that the pandemic is not going to be over with so many people not watching. Well, where's my hand sanitizer? I was going to spray the mic. Not watching, cleaning, standing social distance, or going in without masks. God bless, everyone. Hope to see you again. Bye for now.